Malvasia, a wine unique for its past and special for its roots. In the vineyards of the Parnonas or Malevo slopes, a variety of local grapes were cultivated from which a sweet, sun-dried wine was produced before the 13th century in Byzantine Monemvasia on the south of the Peloponnese Peninsula. Due to the important commercial development of the city, the Monemvasians traded their wine, which the Venetian and Genoese merchants sold under the name Malvasia, flooding Venice, where the wine shops were called Malvasi. Cultivation and production of Malvasia wine also took place in the Cyclades and Crete. After the occupation of Monemvasia by the Turks and the destruction of its vineyards, Malvasius's journey continued from Venetian-occupied Crete until the middle of the 17th century. As long as its rule lasted, it travelled to all the markets of the East and West. It was exported to all the ports of the Mediterranean and the Black Sea, reaching the most demanding markets in Europe. The Venetians took care to transport Malvasia varieties to the Mediterranean and Europe, spreading the cultivation from Croatia and Italy to Spain and the Canary Islands, Portugal and Madeira, also known as Malmsey. I'm Katerina Badzaiki, and in this week's Infinitely Curious program of The Voice of Greece, we will explore how wine can travel countries and centuries but maintain its character and popularity. Sotiris Bolis is the artistic director of the first international Malvasia festival based in Monemvasia, a three-day celebration that marks the return of the most famous wine in history to its birthplace. Mr. Bolis, good morning and welcome to our program.
Good morning, thank you very much.
Now, could you please start by telling us what is Malvasia and why this name for this particular wine?
Malvasia is the most important, the most famous wine in history. Its origin at Monemvasia in southern Peloponnese, a very beautiful place where since the Byzantine times in around the 12th century, the production of the local wine, Monemvasius wine, became very famous, and the Venetians, the traders, started trading and carrying the wine to Venice and from there to the rest of Europe. Since that time, it was connected to the name of the place. The mountain is called Parnonas. The other name is Malevos. So the places around Malevos were called Malevasies. The most important town was Monemvasia, Malvasia, Malevasia, and this goes on. So for the Venetians, it was Malvasia. For the Franks, it was Malvoisie, and it goes on.
How can a wine travel so far and for so long?
This wine was very tasty, and people liked it a lot. So at the same time, it could last the long journey from Greece, Monemvasia, to Venice. Since all people in Venice liked the wine, and they were using it, and they called the wine shops Malvasia. And it became so famous that went to a lot of places, not only the wine, but also the grapes. And many areas around the Mediterranean started cultivating Malvasia varieties, grape varieties, and started producing Malvasia wine. The wines were not the same, of course, but they were all called Malvasia. And this travel through place and time still goes on till today, where many more places and countries cultivate and produce Malvasia, even in the United States, Argentina, Brazil, even in Australia, they produce Malvasia wine.
I read that today there are different forms of Malvasia produced also in those traditional countries you mentioned, Greece, Italy, Croatia, Slovenia, Spain, Portugal, and also the ones you just mentioned, California, Arizona, Argentina, Brazil, Australia. You speak of a return to its origins. Does a wine ever leave its birthplace? And once it does it taste different?
Yes. About Malvasia, we can say that the production ceased in Monemvasia after the occupation of the Turks. The vineyards were destroyed. So for many centuries, there was no production of Malvasia wine. Even in Crete, where the production carried on till the 17th century, the Malvasia wine also stopped being produced. In the last two decades, there has been a very serious effort to revive this production. And this led to reproduce Malvasia wine in Monemvasia as a PDO product. and then after a while in Crete. So the last 20 years we have again a production of Malvasia wine, and it's produced at its birthplace. The production is the same as it was at the beginning of the 12th century. The same sun-dried grapes, white grapes that produce a sweet sun-dried wine.
Malvasia is a variety, or is this specific wine?
Originally, it was a combination of varieties, local varieties, where the most important one was called Monimbasia variety, the name of the place, and then called Malvasia, but the wine was produced from four or five local varieties. The same was in Crete. And in Crete, the name was Malvasia di Candia. You know, Candia means Heraklion, the modern city of Crete. So we have, let's say, two or three basic Malvasia varieties, but the original wine was made out of four varieties.
Mm-hmm. This particular variety, how come did it travel to different regions, although it was initiated in Monimbasia?
There are stories and myths about how Venetians or Catalan people, pirates or warriors, were taking crops from the vineyards and replanted them to their areas. As I said, the Venetians were feared about the cessation of productions after the Ottoman occupation of Greece. So they replanted the varieties, the grapes, in their countries. There have been a lot of studies trying to connect today's varieties with the original ones from Monimbasia or Crete, and they have a lot of results how close they are.
What does its return mean for the local community?
A local community always knew that Malvasia is something that belongs to them, but there was not actually a coordinated effort how to promote this Malvasia wine, the history and everything. For them, when we started saying that we are doing a serious effort, a transnational project with other Malvasia producing areas, it was very good to hear. And then after we started designing this festival, they all wanted to be part of it. It was quite impressive because it's in their soul, I would say. They know that Malvasia is theirs, and they need to promote it and connect it with the place and the magic of the Malvasia Castle. It is a wonderful place, very touristic, very calm, and very romantic, but also hides till today a secret, this Malvasia aspect of the history of Monimbasia. So for them, it will be a very good tool to promote their place, the area, using a new identity of the place, something that relates with its history and production and local products and gastronomy and many other things.
Malvasia's reputation is reflected in many references by important figures of letters and art. In the play Richard III by William Shakespeare, the Duke of Clarence is murdered and drowned in a Malvasia cask, also known as Malmsey Butt. Leonardo da Vinci had his own small Malvasia vineyard in Milan. The Nobel Prize-winning author Thomas Mann in the play Buddenbrooks brings two bottles of Malvasia from the cellar. Martin Luther, Alexandre Dumas, Guy de Maupassant often refer to Malvasia. Giuseppe Garibaldi grew Malvasia in Carpera, Sardinia, while the composer Giuseppe Verdi was a good friend of Malvasia wine.
I could say that each one of them you mentioned maybe have tasted a different wine. I'm sure that the visitors of the festival will taste the kind of the original wine, the way it was produced originally, but they will also have the chance to taste all other types of wine, since we have all the areas that are visiting us to bring their wines. So we have a lot of different wines for the visitors to taste. So maybe some of them will be like Shakespeare's or Da Vinci's after all.
Does consumers' taste and wine preferences change, you think, over the centuries?
I think yes, because during the centuries, there are many differences on the techniques of cultivation and production of wine, and the wine during time, it's different. Since the antiquity, the ancient Greeks used to drink their wine mixed with water, while the natural wine was only for the gods. And today we don't add water to the wine, so it's different. Our approach is different. The taste is different.
Why is Monemvasia a prosperous region for cultivating vineyards?
It's a tradition. The place is very good for cultivating grapes, a lot of vineyards, and also a lot of olive trees. It's a blessed place for cultivation.
Monemvasia presents and celebrates a unique aspect of its history and culture. This weekend, the famous Malvasia wine showcases its aroma and culture, its flavor and history at the first International Malvasia Festival in Monemvasia. The Malvasia Festival includes tastings and masterclass of local and international Malvasia wine, guided tours in the castle and the upper town of Monemvasia, culture activities, exhibition of local products and flavors, workshops, presentations and concerts.
This year is the first festival in Monemvasia because since the last 3 years we are working on a transnational project trying to promote the myth of Malvasia wine. And we work together with four other countries and Malvasia producing areas. And one of the actions are like this festival, actions that will get people to know what this is all about. I would say that there are many Malvasia festivals in other countries, in Italy, in Croatia, in Canary Islands. Malvasia festivals, because the Malvasia wine is very, very well known, and there's a lot of production, restarted the last 20 years. So we need to have a place and a way to celebrate.
The festival consists of three sections, wine, history and culture, and that invites also visitors to experience the journey and the history of Malvasia and at the same time discover the place where this journey began from. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
About wine, this whole thing is about Malvasia wine. So what we need is to taste and enjoy Malvasia wine, the local one, but also from all other areas that will visit our festival. And we have a lot of wine tastings and masterclass about Malvasia. So people start trying to drink Malvasia wine. About history, we have a lot of actions that let people know the history of Malvasia, not only in Greece, but in other countries. We have a lot of events to explain what happened in all these countries, all these years and centuries. And culture is what each Malvasia producing area has to offer beyond the wine. In Malvasia, we have history and the castle and a very important city in Greece. The same happens in Parma and in the sieges, Barcelona, in many other countries. So actually what we need to do after all is to create a new interesting reason for people to visit all these areas. The Malvasia producing areas, actually our main target after some years is to create the Malvasia travelers, visiting a place because of Malvasia wine, but at the same time, I learn about its history and enjoy the culture of this place. So we have in our festival some events that present aspects of the culture of the areas that participate in this festival.
You were inspired by a verse of our national poet, also from Monivaskia, Yannis Ritsos, saying, and what was it? It was a reversed time, in question mark. Why were you inspired by that particular verse?
Yes, this is a very important poet, and one of his poems is called Leaving Monivaskia, and one of the verses is the specific one. What was that? Reversed time. What we are doing in this festival is look back in history some 9 or 10 centuries and try to find what happened then about Malvasia production wine, what is its travel to Europe and other areas, and what happens today. So for us is actually reverse time, we're looking back in time. And this way we have Yannis Ritsos as our host in Monivaskia, and as a helper, how to look back in time.
I'm looking at the program and I'm very intrigued by the fact that you also will have some medieval music in the streets during the festival. How is that linked to the history of that particular wine?
Medieval and Renaissance were part of the journey of Malvasia wine. We refer to that era, that time, by learning and listening some of their music. There is a specific opening event where we are trying to not only hear some music and say that, oh, it was a nice concert or not, but to let people go through place and history. So we hear from speakers some words, some texts about aspects of Malvasia in various times. And at the same time, we listen to music from that time and from places that Malvasia visited. And through time, we come at the end to today and see what happens today, listen to music of today, and drink Malvasia, of course. So starting from very early years, we come to today and we have fun. Because after all, we're talking about wine. We need to have fun and to be happy.
Mm-hmm. The way they had fun then, when they were drinking wine and also playing music and listening to medieval music at the time.
Of course. And they preferred Malvasia wine because maybe they had more fun. What we want to do is to make people listen and learn about different aspects of Malvasia producing areas. So we're talking about information about wines and about secrets, and finally about the wine itself and its taste. And this starts from medieval years and comes to today. So the plan is that we have two different groups that play at the same time on stage, but with a sequence of songs and little speeches that lead the visitors to learn a lot of things and listen to a lot of things and come from the Middle Ages to Renaissance and today, and started just being listeners. At the end, they will dance and drink because we're talking about wine.
There's a traveling of music through time. Which artists are involved in this endeavor?
We start from medieval music and then to Renaissance madrigals and music, and then go to Greek music from contemporary artists that talk maybe about wine or places. And finally, we involve some traditional music where the use of wine was the main thing and the most necessary in order to have fun and dance and be happy. Because after all, we're talking about wine, and wine makes us happy.
And last but not least, looking at this program, I see also you have some book presentations as well. A little bit more about what is this and why books are so important in this year's festival.
We have a book presentation, a very important book written by Stavrou Lakourakou, the Lady of the Greek Wine. She's a former president of the IV, the International Organization of Wine, and she has written about the Malvasia, the renowned wine, yesterday and today. A very big and very valuable study. And there will be the first official presentation of the book during our festival, because we learn a lot of things from this book. And it also let us know not only about the travel of Malvasia, but things about the cultivation and the production at its early times, things about even the taxes in Venice and how Monemvasia and Cretan Malvasia wines were imported in Venice and then in Europe. A lot of very important things. So I believe this is one of our very good events.
Do you plan any other activities in the future?
After the festival, yes, we have this transnational cooperation project that goes on. And this project supports actions, not only festivals, but a lot of studying in all the areas, and then promotion of Malvasia wines and the special characteristics of each place. So at the end, we are building an international network called Malvasia Myth Network with all these areas to continue this work. And actually, during the festival, we are going to sign the MOU for the setup of this network.
Well, Mr. Bullis, thank you for taking the time to speak to us, and I wish you a very nice day.
Thank you very much.
And that was Artistic Director of Malvasia Festival, Sotiris Bullis. Monemvasia, the Malvasia of the Venetians, the Malevoise of the Franks, the stone ship of Yanis Ritsos, began the long history of Malvasia wine. Both the expansion of production from local to international vineyards and commercial activities from the 13th century contributed to the establishment of Malvasia wine as a factor of a timeless collective experience and an opportunity for intercultural interaction. Centuries after the interruption of production in Monemvasia, because of the destruction of vineyards by the Ottomans, Malvasia wine has been revived over the last two decades in Monemvasia, together with its amazing centuries-long journey. PDO Monemvasia Malvasia wine has been produced since 2010, while shortly after three more PDO Malvasia wines were established in Paros and Crete. Marialena Tsibidi is an enologist and expert of the secrets of Malvasian wine. Maria Elena, good morning and welcome to our program.
Good morning. It's so good to be here and sharing the history of this legendary wine.
Marielle, why is Malvasian wine unique and has managed to cross continents and travel through centuries?
Monevasia Malvasia was the most famous wine of the late medieval period. It was a wine so famous for its quality and its exceptional taste and aroma back in the day that it was something of a legend. This wine was produced in the Byzantine town of Monevasia, which actually gave its name to the wine. The wine of Monevasia, or the wine of Malvasia, as the Franks, who would trade in the area, used to call this wine, was the most important product that Monevasia was exporting to all the known regions that was trading with the Byzantine Empire.
What is your relationship with this particular wine?
My father, Yorgos Tsimbidis, started a winery in 1997 with the dream of reviving this legendary wine in its birthplace, Monevasia. It inspired our family business. My father managed to, as you said before, actually get a PDO approval for it as a PDO Monevasia Malvasia in 2010. And it is actually one of our most proud achievements as a family. So I am the generation that continues this family tradition and trying to hold also the legacy of our area.
Malvasia is a name of a location or is a name of a variety?
That is a great question. And it is a source of much confusion. So Malvasia is a historic designation of origin, first of all. It is the name of Monevasia in the language of the Franks. So it may refer to a region and an appellation, but because of the fame of the wine, many varieties were named after the wine, which was called Malvasia. So it's a variety that was used to produce a certain type of wine that would resemble the legendary Malvasia, was named Malvasia in different regions around the Mediterranean Sea.
But it's not the same wine.
It's not the same wine, and actually the experts and the people who have done some viticultural research regarding the several Malvasia varieties that exist have pretty much concluded that each Malvasia is a different story, is a totally different variety. Genetic-wise, they don't share much. There is one thing perhaps that is in common among many different regions. So I think the common, let's say, element is the exceptional aroma of this wine. In the dry white versions of Malvasia variety in a region, there might be a fresh aromatic white wine. In our case, in the Malvasia of Monevasia, it is a sweet wine made from sun-dried grapes. So the exceptional aroma, and very complex in our case, comes as a result of the special production method, which is the sun-drying, and also the extensive aging that we do in oak barrels.
You said that it tastes sweet. What other scents and flavors come out of it?
You can find Malvasia wines or made of Malvasia varieties, as we could better describe it, that produce white, some cases red, dry wine, some sweet wines. I think they don't share much similarities.
What I mean, if you could describe this wine, how would you describe the taste of it?
I can mostly speak for our Malvasia, so I will mostly focus on that. In our case, our Malvasia is a wine from sun-dried grapes, as I said before, so it's very condensed. The water evaporates from the grapes, so everything else gets very concentrated at the wine. The sugar, the acid, the natural acid of the grapes, so it has a great balance of sweetness and acidity. It is a very complex wine. The nose has some elements of dried fruits, especially raisins or figs, some sweet spices, honey, and the long aging also adds some notes of some nutty to the bouquet.
Have you ever had the opportunity to taste another Malvasia wine from another country, and can you make any comparisons?
Actually, I have tasted a few, but we are preparing in the context of the festival of Malvasia in Monevasia some masterclass or tasting of many different Malvasia wines from Croatia, from Italy, from Spain. So it will be a chance for me to taste them as well. And perhaps then I can share better opinion about it.
Why is Monevasia an ideal ground to grow wine?
Monevasia is a city, a town actually, that is very close to the sea. It has a very mild climate, so not extreme temperature rises or what is the opposite, drops. So the mild Mediterranean climate really helps with the maturity of the grapes, and the sea breezes help us cool down the warm Mediterranean summer. So it helps a lot with the maturation of the grapes.
What is that that makes Malvasian wine unique?
Its history, first and foremost, makes it very unique. It is like a part of history being alive nowadays. Another very unique thing about it is that it connects many different European countries today. It is like a cultural heritage as well. And finally, for our region, which was a very famous winemaking region of the Middle Ages, it represents the ability of our area to produce special products that are special exactly because they are made in our region. I don't know if that makes sense, but it is the whole philosophy of terroir, or the idea that some products are very special because they are made in a very specific place by people that are local and want to showcase the quality of the region.
PDO Monevasia Malvasia wine has been produced since 2010, also in Crete and Paros. What does this mean for the development of the quality of this particular wine, and can we still call it Malvasia after that?
So historically, when Monevasia stopped producing Malvasia, the demand was great and the fame of the wine, as I said before, was extreme. So the production was continued in Paros and in Crete that were still free from the Ottoman rule and were under the rule of the Venetians mostly. So historically, in these two regions, Paros and Crete, there was a production of Malvasia wine. So I think it resonates heritage of these two areas. But from what I know, in Crete, there is no Malvasia PDO produced for the moment being. I am not aware of anyone producing PDO Malvasia at the moment. In Paros, I know very well that there is production from the beginning, that it was established as a PDO. And the differences between the Malvasia of Monevasia and the Malvasia of Paros or Crete is the varietal composition of the wine. For instance, in Monevasia, there are allowed four varieties in the production of Malvasia, mostly the variety Monevasia, whereas in Paros, it is made 100% of Monevasia grapes. So there are differences that resonate with each region and the unique things that each region has.
And affect the taste as well.
Absolutely, yes. It is the same style of wine or type of wine made from sun-dried grapes and aged, but it is different because it is produced in a different area and from different grapes.
All these destinations are close to the sea as well. Does it affect the quality?
When we are talking about quality, we have in mind that these wines are unique and exceptional because the original was that famous and that good. So I think that both wines, the Malvasia of Monevasia and Malvasia of Paros that I know is produced as a PDO, are really great wines that at least aspire to live up to their reputation. I think for our case, the Monevasia Malvasia, we have also won several international awards about the wine. So I think that kind of speaks to its quality as well.
Why do you think this is a wine that was made famous? I mean, we know that Guy de Maupassant was consuming it. We know Shakespeare was mentioning it in his plays. Why do you think this is a particular wine that has traveled so far throughout the centuries and has been so popular?
I think it is a combination of the quality of the original wine, but also of the more commercial approach to it. It was a combination of the factor that the Venetians, who would trade a lot and had access to all Europe back in the day, were selling it. So they had made it a very famous brand name.
So you're saying that it's a marketing thing more than the fact that it was a very good wine?
It is both. The original wine was of exceptional quality, and that helped create the legend that marketing-wise, there were some very smart people back in the day that would actually make it a household name.
Is it predominantly sweet?
Yes, it was a sweet wine. From some historical references that we have, it was a sweet wine. There was often some confusion about its color, because in some historic writings, it is referred to be red, but it was mostly a misconception due to lack of knowledge of the way of production. The color of it is kind of dark amber because of the sun drying, which caramelizes the sugar and turns the color of the wine darker. So it was a famous misconception as well about it. But it is sweet.
It is still sweet, is it?
Yes, it is still sweet, absolutely. It is sweet from white sun-dried grapes.
Can you describe a little bit this particular winemaking process? Is there something that we should know about? Is there a particular way that you guys are making this? Particular techniques you're using to make this wine?
The heart of it is the sun-drying, as I said before. This is a naturally sweet wine. That means that we don't do anything to stop the fermentation with residual sugar high. The fermentation stops naturally because the original content of sugar in the must is very high due to the sun drying. It's concentrated. So the fermentation stops around 13.5% alcohol, and the wine is naturally sweet. Then it is aged for 2 years in oak barrels, minimum for 2 years. It might be more. And that is the essence of it. The sun drying is done either on the vineyard. We put hay, some net, and then on top the grapes and another net to protect it from the birds and the animals. Or on special constructions like racks, perhaps I would say it. But always outdoors under the sun.
Where do you see this wine in the next 3-4 years in terms of marketing purposes and also in terms of traveling even further? I understand that this is a kind of wine that obviously it's not a location thing, but it's been traveling in different countries and will still do, I assume, right?
Yes, we have some exports of it around the world and we are happy for that. Of course, nowadays, the sweet wine consumption is not very prevalent. People are often mindful of the calories, for example, or mostly opt for dry wine these days. But for special occasions, or especially if you actually visit Monevasia, you get to have a little bit of the region and a little bit of its history that you can bring back with you. So the local market for us is very important. I think the legend of Malvasia is getting a bit more attention as time goes by, because the producers of Malvasia are getting more connected with each other. So it is my hope that in 5 years it will be even more prevalent and discussed about and more alive.
There must be some sort of competition between the appellate origin of Malvasia in Greece compared to Malvasia in other countries, right? So that will be,
of course,
I guess, the bet in the next few years, isn't it?
Actually, the European law is the same for all European countries, and each country must protect its interests. So in order to get a PDO, Monevasia Malvasia, the appellation, we had to go through the European procedures. So Italy was present, Spain was present, everybody could veto the decision. But this didn't happen because it was very solidly proven historically. So I don't think there is competition at this stage. It is actually a shared legacy that we have. in Monévasia or in every other producing region of Malvasia. So I don't think it's very competitive at this stage.
You mean that it could be an Australian Malvasia and it will be also called Malvasia as well, and that would be fine?
Actually, in order to answer the question, I might have to look more into the European law applies to European countries. Mm-hmm. Outside Europe, according to international law, I don't think the appellations of origin really apply. They are mostly protected within a certain, let's say, border, geographical border, not all around the world as appellations. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I'm trying to explain it as best as I can. If someone outside Europe produces Malvasia wine, I think they can name it Malvasia.
They have the right to name it Malvasia.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also,
in
Europe is considered old world, so the regulations are much more strict. And there are often conflicting interests between the countries of the Union. So you must have a very well-established claim in order for it to get through. So the idea is that Monévasia Malvasia is an appellation that refers to the historic origin of the wine. And you can also have other Malvasia plus another word, Malvasia Paros, for example, that refer to the historic origin of the wine in this place or some other place in Italy or in Spain.
Maria Elena, thank you very much for joining us and have a very nice day.
Thank you. You too. Have a great day.
And that was Maria Elena Tsibidi, an enologist and expert of the secrets of Malvasian wine. Malvasia wine and its magical world, from Monévasia, Paros and Crete, to the close Italian, Croatian and Spanish vineyards, but also to the more distant ones of the Canary Islands and Madeira, and from the early Byzantine friends of Malvasia to the personalities who cultivated or praised it. Monévasia is a famous place with an uninterrupted human presence since the 6th century BC, when there is a clear reference to the area in the sources until today. The castle town was built in the 6th century AD by Lacunians who've moved there. It met many conquerors and the signs of different cultures. Byzantines, Frankish, Venetians, Ottomans remain indelible to this day, inviting the visitor to discover them. From the beginning of its foundation, due to its key position on the sea routes of the Eastern Mediterranean, it emerged as an important commercial port, so that from the 12th century, it was economically supported to a large extent by trade. The inhabitants were particularly attached to the sea, and in fact the Emperor Andronikos Palaiologos called them a nation of capable sailors and seafarers. In the second half of the 14th century, the Monévasians had developed significant commercial activity in the Peloponnese, Crete and Venice. Despite the serious antagonisms between Byzantine and Venetian merchants, and despite the instability and insecurity that prevailed in the wider Peloponnese region, commercial exchanges and relations were not interrupted. The commercial ties created the conditions for the spread of Monévasia sweet wine, which was known in the Venetian market under the name Malvasia. I'm Katerina Badzaki. Join us next Sunday at 11 in the morning to explore another aspect of our infinite curious minds. Meanwhile, let's allow ourselves to travel back into time and picture happy wine encounters and memories as the past converses with the present and time unites with the place, Monévasia. in a spatio-temporal creative continuum.
Stay.